When I was first accepted to pilot training in the Air Force, I was required to attend the flight screening program to see if I even had the ability to fly an aircraft. That entailed classroom study about flight rules, radio procedures, emergency procedures, and different situations, and then certainly written tests. Then came the actual flying part. It required that I was able to solo. That is, to fly a small hunk of metal with engine and a prop a couple of thousand feet above certain depth and perform certain maneuvers and return for several landings and takeoffs safely and all by myself. But instead of required 10 flying hours with an instructor, upon landing with my instructor about 15 minutes into the sixth one-hour flying lesson, the instructor told me to make a full stop landing and then taxi back to the departure end of the runway for another takeoff. When I had done that, my instructor, without warning, just said, "You've got this, be safe." And he opened the door, got out on his side with the engine still running, the prop still turning. And I just sat there and said to myself, "Oh, goodness." I sat there gathering myself for a minute, and then filled with a real conflicting sense of fear and exuberance, and with my heart pounding, I called the tower, requested clearance for takeoff. Those feelings are sort of what we should be celebrating today. And I can imagine those feelings fairly similar with the experience through today's readings. In the reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is summarizing 3 years of his teaching and showing his apostles who he is and what he came to do and why. He explained to them, using the scriptures, how the prophets spoke about him and what he would do for the salvation of mankind. And he promised to send the Holy Spirit, that the Father promised, but that they should stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Then he blessed them, and then he departed from them. Now, for some reason, St. Luke gives two different accounts of this scene, this one from today's gospel and the other from the Acts of the Apostles that we just heard. In the latter one, it concludes with two men dressed in white basically asking the apostles why they're still standing there staring up at the sky. They're just taking it all in, sort of like my flight screening experience. They seem to be frozen where they are, partially because it happened so unexpectedly, and partially from unbelief, and partially from fear of the unknown, and also partially from being sent out on their own. As we celebrate today, we're coming close to the close of the Easter season, but not quite yet. The ascension of the Lord is part of the Easter mystery. Jesus completed his mission for our salvation by returning to the Father. He was dead, but we know that he's alive. We know through faith that he is risen. So today we celebrate the fact that Jesus is not here, but through the Spirit and the power of the Almighty God, he is here. And yes, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that God became man. It's a mystery that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's a mystery that Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, our life of faith is a mystery. It's a mystery that through water and anointing, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and we become part of the body of Christ. That through confirmation, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And through the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is physically present in the form of that bread and wine, and we take him into our hearts. All of faith is a mystery, but we truly believe in this mystery only when we're willing to accept the immense power of God the Father himself in our faith through the sacraments. And that willingness to receive the power of God in the Spirit is accepting the responsibilities that the Spirit of God brings. We agree to receive the Holy Spirit from the Father through Jesus when we also gain responsibility to bring him to birth in people and places where he's not known or believed in. Just as Mary, through the Spirit, birthed Jesus into a world that wouldn't understand him. The apostles didn't just stand around continuing to look up at the sky when Jesus ascended into heaven. They obeyed his command by returning to Jerusalem, a dangerous place for them. And they were joyous in the temple. True believers can't just say, "I believe and he is risen," and then go about eating chocolate bunnies. We can't just be concerned about our own wishes and desires. We have to accept our faith responsibilities and be about helping others to believe. Each one of us is called to a particular vocation in this life that carries with it the responsibility of bringing others to the faith. There's no exception to anyone's vocation. And each of our vocations are ones that we didn't choose. They're given to us from God through the Spirit, whether we realize it or not. And the point is to further Christ in the world. An individual's education and employment is not intended in and of itself to be just about making the most money an individual can possibly amass. Making money can be part of it, but maybe it's about giving most of it away to help others or fostering something in the future to help better mankind. But it's also about bringing Christ to those with whom we work. And married people are expected to use their vocation to help each other in their faith to get to heaven and to raise their children together in faith so that they too may evangelize still others. Their children's education should include knowing their God well enough that they might hear a call to the seminary or the convent and not be confined to a profession that might bring them the most money. All vocations are a call to Christ to others, not just the vocation of clergy and religious. All of our vocations should be dedicated to Christ. You see, the feasts of the Ascension and Pentecost are feasts of Christian maturity. We know this from the Gospels. At the end of all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus commissions the apostles to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he promises that through the Holy Spirit, he will be with them. But then he leaves, physically. Jesus left his apostles with choices. They could sit around and mourn his departure as if he were dead. They could go back to fishing as they did the last time Jesus wasn't with them. Or they could be joyful that he's alive and gone to the Father, joyful in his promise of spiritual help, and do as he commanded them to do, even though being in the temple in Jerusalem was dangerous for them. We are commanded as well to grow up in our faith and to pass our faith in Christ on to others, as many as we can. Just as a young adult leaves home and the safety of home and their parents' tutelage, or our parents have died and we realize now that we're the adults. Just as at those times we have choices which can be daunting, doing as Jesus commands us can be fearful. And it requires accepting the Holy Spirit and consulting that Spirit of Jesus in every decision we make in life, from the most mundane choices to the most important decisions we make in our lives. But accepting the Holy Spirit will help us help Jesus change a world of death, a world of selfishness, political strife, arrogance, indifference to poverty and hunger. Yes, a world of death. But we can bring that world of death into a world risen into the life of Christ. Is the Easter season that we've been celebrating only about celebrating over food and friends and family, and like I said, eating chocolate bunnies? Or are all of us, to a person, ready and willing to make our Easter mystery a continual celebration of the risen one and our mission to help others rise with Christ, knowing that he's alive, although no longer physically here? Just as Jesus' true glory was attained in returning to the Father with his mission accomplished, our true dignity is attained when we ascend home to the Father, just as Jesus did with our mission accomplished. In a few moments, when during the Eucharistic prayer, Father Tony says, "Lift up your hearts," and we respond, "We lift them up to the Lord." Is that just something we say, or maybe not even respond? Or as we lift our hearts to the Lord, can we imagine ourselves ascending to heaven, glorifying God with all the saints and angels after having done our best for Him? That's what believing in Jesus as the Christ and receiving Him in Eucharist is for. I hope and pray that when each of us completes our time on this earth, we can be confident and joyful in the hope of doing as we respond today.